The journeys of elderhood. Even in elder time, the heart fire burns with all that is left to do, to be, to become. No time for stopping now when flagging energy creates a shorter day. Instead, stoke the inner fires with seasoned wood, with sharpest mind and experienced heart, to tackle the elusive, the impossible, and even just the hard to do. Gather all the deep soul strength for liftoff. Engage deeply. Champion right causes. Proceed with the fearless courage that elder age allows. The stakes are higher now. The time is shorter. Strive higher. Greatness, even the heroic, does not come to those who take excuse in aging. Let the third voyage, the journeys of elderhood, begin. Yes, to purpose and intention, to passion and compassion, to good memories, to new planning, to learning and reading, to writing stories and poetry. Yes, to children and grandchildren, to concerts and graduations and celebrations. Yes, to loving deeply, to friendships old and new, to generosity, to sharing well-earned wisdom. Yes, to being, to the truth of the soul and the spirit and the sacred. Yes, to life. Lechem, which is a Hebrew word, I understand, to life. Chaim. Lechaim, thank you. It says ancient Hebrew toast meaning to life. So that Yes 3 poem, it's called Geraldine Schwartz. I think it's really good. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you. So now this is going to be a bit like just a minute, instead of which is just 10 minutes or maybe 11. So we're going to be fairly strict on timing. And the reason I asked Elizabeth to speak is that last year we were both at Elche. Peter and Elizabeth there again recently. And Elche, they have, at the hospital, they have a huge meeting on death and dying every year. So Pim van Lommel was there this year, and I was there with Peter and Elizabeth last year. And one of the organisers prevailed on Elizabeth to share her wisdom for in a small, sort of informal session. And I was writing away, getting down her pearls. And so I thought, well, you ought to hear them as well. So, Elizabeth, thank you.
So I'm going to tell you what I've discovered about four good things about getting on a bit. I remember one of our daughters saying to me, and she would have been about 9 or 10 at the time, and so I suppose I was about 40, and she said, now that you're getting on a bit, she said, why don't you wear your hair in a little bun at the back like great granny used to? No, I really am getting on a bit, but I still haven't quite caught up with the great granny or her hairstyle. But this is largely because great grannies now aren't what they used to be. I remember going with my parents to visit their friends, and it seemed to me that every one of them had a granny, or great granny, sitting smiling in a fireside chair, her stick by her side, her hair in a bun at the back, or with a granny perm, which again is something that isn't anything any of my 80-year-old friends have acquired. But things are different now, and this is the first great advantage of aging in the 21st century. We don't have to look, we don't even have to act our age. We can go on being us, despite our hearing aids and our refurbished hips and knees. And when we meet old friends after a gap of a few years, their hair is probably greyed or is absent in some cases, and their skin will have wrinkled. But as soon as you begin to talk to them, you realize that they are still themselves. They're still the person you knew all those years ago. And I once asked my own grandmother, who was the great granny with her hair in a bun, I once asked her, and she was about 85 at the time, and I said, how old do you feel inside? And she thought a bit and said, round about 35, I think, but maybe 40 going up the stairs. So remember, the first bit of good news for enjoying old age is you don't have to conform to any stereotype. You can carry on being you. In fact, there are plenty of good things about getting on a bit. And one of the best, and it's also one of the first things you notice, the things that make you realize that even though you may still feel 35 inside, in other people's eyes, you are now an old person. And that is that people are so nice to you. You notice this especially when you're traveling. Yes, I know there are a few people who pinch your handbag and club you over the head with it. But there are far, far more who will give up their seat in a crowded train or bus, or who will offer to carry your suitcase up the steps. The third Monday in September in Japan is Respect of the Aged Day, also known as Seniors Day or Kiero no Hai. It was established in 1966 to express respect for the elders in the community and to recognize and thank them for their contribution to society and, last but not least, to celebrate their long lives. To honor their elders, many communities hold parties and offer special gifts to bring even more longevity to their lives. And Japanese citizens who become 100 years old in the 12 months prior to the day receive a silver sake dish on Respect the Aged Day. Or rather, they have done until now. Japan now has so many centenarians that from 2016 onwards, the sake dishes will actually be silver plated because the government can't run to silver ones anymore. And Japanese trains, like ours, have special seats reserved for the old, infirm, or pregnant. But the problem is that in early morning or late evening, which are, of course, the most crowded train times, everyone immediately closes their eyes and sleeps the moment they get a seat, regardless of their age or infirmity. One evening on the densely packed late train home from Tokyo, I was standing near the reserved seats, which were occupied as usual by three snoozing businessmen. A younger, much younger woman nearby rapped one of them smartly on the shoulder, indicated that he should give me his seat, and stood firmly by to oversee the operation till I was safely seated. And it was through this particular experience that I discovered the third big advantage of old age. You get a bit braver because you stop caring so much about what other people will think of you. And in fact, Japan was an odd place to learn this particular lesson because one of the first things you're taught about Japanese culture is if you're a nail, if you stand out, you must be hammered down. Conformity is all important, especially so if you're a gaijin, a foreigner, a very inferior species in Japan. But I felt my kind young woman had given me a good handle on the culture, so a few evenings later, coming home from Tokyo, same time, same train, same condition, standing near me was a young woman holding a sleeping toddler, a handbag, and a good deal of shopping. In the reserved seats nearby were the three usual snoozing businessmen. But secure in the knowledge that I was now an oba-san, a grandmother, who, despite my Western origins, was worthy of respect and unlikely to suffer reprisals, however nail-like my conduct, I grabbed the middle one, who looked the youngest, pointed to the young woman, and made the internationally recognized thumb gesture, which means hop it. He did, and she sat gratefully down. This is all very well, you may be thinking, but what about the drawbacks? our inability for one embarrassing moment to remember our best friend's name, or what it was we were looking for when it started to rifle through the kitchen cupboards. What happens to our cognitive abilities as we age? A friend recently sent me an email drawing my attention to some research published in the journal Topics in Cognitive Science, which will reassure you that even this, far from being a disability, is merely more evidence of the superiority of exceedingly mature human brains. I very much like the concept of an exceedingly mature brain. The work, headed by Dr. Michael Ramsgar of Tübingen University, takes a critical look at the measures usually thought to show that our cognitive abilities decline across adulthood. But instead of finding evidence of decline, the team discovered that most standard cognitive measures, which date back to the early 20th century, were flawed. The human brain works slower in old age, says Ramsgar, but only because we have stored more information over time. In other words, our brains are slow because we know so much. We do not decline mentally with age. It just takes us longer to recall facts because we have more information in our brains. And apparently it takes even computers longer to search a database of words, the larger it grows. Much like a computer struggles as its hard drive gets full, so too do humans take longer to access information when their brains are full. For example, our ability, or rather our disability, in remembering names. There's a far greater variety of given names today than there were two generations ago. How many of my parents' generation would have included Tiffany, Chelsea, Brooklyn, Peaches, or Pixie in their maybe lists when they were thinking about our names? This cultural shift means the number of different names anyone learns over their lifetime has increased dramatically. So remembering someone's name is far harder than it used to be. There are now so many more competing for attention. We also tend to have larger vocabularies than younger people because, Ramsgar says, older people tend to know a lot of what he calls very low frequency words. And here I'm on rather uncertain ground because of the three words he gave as examples, two were so low frequency I had no idea what they meant and had to Google them. One was zaftig, apparently a word used to describe the female form. It means slightly fat in an attractive way, having a full, rounded figure, pleasantly plump. And the other was arroyo, a steep-sided gully formed by the action of fast-flowing water in an arid or semi-arid region. So Dr. Ramsgar has a point, but I'm not sure it's that point. I would agree that young people's vocabularies are certainly decreasing, but suggests that this is because so much of their conversation is conducted via their iPads and is composed of emojis and abbreviations. Their use of real words is minimal and probably getting less. So the work of Dr. Ramsgar and his colleagues not only explains why older brains seem slower and more forgetful than younger brains, it shows how changes in test performance that have been taken as evidence for declining cognitive abilities, in fact, demonstrate older adults' greater mastery of the knowledge they have acquired. Standardized vocabulary tests massively underestimate the size of adult vocabularies. It may take a little more time for us to search for a word, but that's just because we have so many more words to search through. Certainly, the human brain works more slowly in old age, but only because we have had longer to store information in it. Different tests are needed for the cognitive abilities of older people, taking into account the nature and amount of information our brains process. This slowing down process is not the same as cognitive decline. So remember, the synonym for old age is exceeding maturity. And tell your grandchildren this: the brains of older people do not get weak. On the contrary, they simply know more than you do. So finally, we can conclude, if we want to, which I do, that the reason older people often go from room to room to get something, and when they get there, they stand there wondering what it was they came for, is not a memory problem. It's simply nature's way of making sure that we take more exercise.
I think that's fine. Okay.